Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
So my next interview again is from the Toronto International Film Festival. Kareem Saeed and I wound up at a bar somewhere on Front Street, I think, and we even get a little bit of a shout out to the location as well. You're going to have to stay tuned for that. But Kareem actually is a returning guest. We spoke a couple of years ago about his film Of Sheep and Men, had a wonderful conversation. He's an international development studies graduate and somebody who has a keen eye for details. So Kareem and I sat down to talk about his new film, My English Cousin, this year at the 2019 Film Festival. To talk about a whole lot of things. We get into marriage and immigration and infrastructure. We talk about access and opportunity and what it's like to, I guess, find your way back home. I mean, that really is a theme, I think, for Face to Face, frankly. It's about finding, beauty for Kareem in very simple stories. And this is about Kareem following his cousin, who left Algeria in 2001 for England and is thinking about going back home, or at least back to where he was born. And, you know, this idea of being sort of caught between two places. This sort of, it's kind of a road movie. This is a myth of Sisyphus, as told by Kareem Saeed. So stay tuned for a fascinating film. As Tiff says here, shot with a keen eye that observes the smallest of detail, director Kareem Saeed's documentary unfolds in textures, close quote. And that is just so true. So stay tuned for the interview. Check out a theater near you. Look online soon for the film My English Cousin. And don't forget davidpecklive.com for more information about my writing and my speaking. You can pick up a copy of Real Change is Incremental there. And also, if you want to get behind the work that I'm doing with the podcast Face to Face, you can do that through patreon.com. We have a page set up there, and we've got a few subscribers now, $1, $5, $10, $20 a month to help support us and to help us keep doing what we're doing and to offset some of those costs. And if you can't do that, we'd really appreciate you leaving a review for us on iTunes or Spotify or something along those lines, because, you know, getting word on the street is important, and having people interacting with it is just as, if not more, important. So please do leave us a review. Forward the podcast on to your friends. Tweet about us. Get us up on your Facebook page. Please share the podcast widely and sign up for the newsletter. And also, I wanted you to know we are now offering advertising on the podcast, and we've got a newsletter and we have banner ads, a website, and also you can get embedded into the interviews themselves in a variety of different ways. We're trying to raise revenue here at Face to Face to keep the show going and to keep things moving along. So please reach out to us through the website, facetofacelive.ca, if you're interested in doing that and going a little deeper. Hundreds of thousands of downloads and listened to around the world now, over 20 countries. Please do consider it. And also rabble.ca, news for the rest of us. It's a platform, it's a place where other podcasters and writers and bloggers exist and are writing difficult stories about things that matter, and face-to-face exists there and lives on that page as well. And so check that out, rabble.ca, news for the rest of us. But coming right up, my conversation with Karim Saeed about his new film, My English Cousin. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We're joined by yet another very special guest here today on Face to Face. In fact, a returning guest from a couple years ago at the Toronto International Film Festival. Karim Saeed is here today to talk about his new film, My English Cousin. Karim, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me another time.
Yes, it's good to be back, I would imagine.
Amazing.
Yeah, really.
I like it here.
You like it here. Yeah, that's great. So this is your second festival, is that
yeah.
right? Yeah, that's excellent. Well, welcome back to Toronto. And we are sitting here, 9 Clarence Square, actually, at a brilliant little bar called 1830. So, you know, it's too bad people can't come down and join us right now as
right
we're
now,
speaking.
Yeah.
But you're listening to us in the past. But check them out, 1830. And don't forget to check out the Toronto International Film Festival as well. So Karim, your background is varied. We talked a lot about your film Of Sheep and Men a few years ago at the Toronto International Film Festival. I'm sure you traveled with that. You have a background. I was doing a little research. International relations, international development.
International relations.
Yeah. So are you like a filmmaker or a politician? Like, what's the story, Karim?
No, I think now I dare to say I'm a filmmaker, but it took me like 5 years. It took me to come back here to really accept that I made it. It's an ongoing struggle because it's hard. It takes you time to get in, but you can lose everything in one day. But no, I think, I studied international relations. I worked for UNDP, human rights NGOs, for maybe 5 years. And I wasn't satisfied with that at some point because I was lacking. I was like, you know, I was seeing like kind of hard situations in the country I traveled or I worked on. But I was frustrated not to be able to translate like the kind of emotion I felt when I was on the ground. Or
you couldn't really tell a clear sort of story. Is that sort of what you
mean?
Yeah,
like, I mean, for example, I was working documenting like arbitrary detentions or like torture cases.
Wow.
And you know, when you meet a family of a victim, for example, and you have to translate all their pain just like juridically with like articles of law and treaties,
numbers and words.
Yeah,
and
it's very important and it's totally useful. And but it was not for me. Like, I was always frustrated because when you meet these families of victims, for example, or in some situations, you just feel like, yeah, I was moved by these people, and I was kind of translating these feelings in another way, and that's what brought me somehow in movies, I think.
So the idea of creating empathy of
yeah, being freer, like, because with politics you always have to take a side, to be strategic, you have to be evil sometimes, maybe in movies as well. But at least what I like with movies is you can bring some complexity, some nuances, you know. You don't have to stress it so much to reach your objective, you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm satisfied with that, and hopefully I'll make other movies in the future.
So it seems to me, when I watch this film, it's can I say that it's understated in the way that you present the ordinary life, and in a way you sort of turn ordinary life on its head and make it rather extraordinary, if that makes any sense,
yeah.
With the way you hold on certain shots, and it's just, this is the business of life for Fahed, your cousin.
My cousin, yeah. So no, I have to say he was great with me because he really allowed me to enter his life and his intimacy. And filmmaking-wise, I really wanted to tackle intimacy in this new project because my previous films were all shot in the streets. And in Algeria, like, it's very gender segregated, the spaces, like, women are inside, boys outside. It was hard, like, to have feminine characters as well. And this time I really wanted to tackle intimacy. And my starting point was taking someone who migrated to Europe and wanted to come back. That was my starting point. And then I think when you do documentary, you better know what you're looking for, because you never get what you're looking for at the end. You never know what life...
So you weren't quite sure where the story was going to end. Is that what I'm hearing?
Of course not. But I think I was... I mean, I had access to this intimacy, and I think what's the context my cousin is living in, and his dream of going back, there was something universal in it, you know, like, right. I think everyone can relate to the fact of, at some point in your life, you want to drop everything and start all over again.
Well, I love how he said near the beginning of the film, he had a plan.
Yeah.
Don't we all have a plan of some kind?
Of course. And somehow it never goes exactly the way you want. And
right.
You also have like this kind of midlife crisis,
sure.
Things like you're 40, you're like single, like not single, you're married, but you want a family. How do you do that? You have social pressure, but at the same time you live in another time. So I think even if his case is very particular in a sense that, yes, he's Algerian, yes, he's in a poor city in England, I think, I hope at least that the audience can relate to him somehow. But like his way of asking himself questions is just in a very specific case that tells, I think, as well about what is working class now,
sure.
in England or in Europe in general. Like,
you know what's so interesting? Like any great film, any great story is layered. And I've said that so many times in interviews that I do. I think maybe I'm just fortunate to see a lot of great films. But
thank you.
Your film is very layered. There's so much going. This is about... It's about immigration. It's about refugees. It's about being displaced. It's about economics and then, like I said earlier, just about that extraordinary aspect of life that we all just kind of deal with, and some of us don't deal with it too well, I suppose. But I guess I'm wondering, for you, what was the project about when you said I'm gonna record my cousin? He clearly wants to go home. And I think I've got a question for him as well. You know, where would Fahed say is home, in a sense, right? He's got a home. He's homeless in two places, if you know what I mean.
So, but I'm happy you say that, because I think you got the whole point. I think Fahed is kind of like, he's representing something like Sisyphus, you know?
Yes.
It's just like, you want to go from Algeria, it takes you so much effort, and you reach a point... Like a city where no one in England wants to go there, and like they voted Brexit, everyone is leaving this city. Like, and at the end, like, you're always escaping something. It's maybe better than where he was, but at the end, is he really happy? I don't know. Each audience will interpret it his way. And
well, isn't that the beauty of film too, Kareem, that everyone will interpret it?
That's at least what I like as an audience. That's what I like, giving me freedom of interpret it and not being stuck in a single interpretation. No, but for Fahed, I think yes, you totally got it. He will never be an English guy, and he will never be at home in Algeria again.
I love near the end when he's driving in Algeria with his mom.
Yeah.
And she says something like, you respect aunt, the law.
Yeah.
Is that right? You respect the law there, and then you come over here and you do it and you drive however you want.
Yeah, that's exactly like, right? That's something I think a lot of people having double background will relate to, because I mean, my situation is very different. I mean, I grew up in Switzerland, my mom is Swiss, but still I will always be considered as an Algerian in Switzerland and as a Swiss in Algeria.
Right.
I have better weapons than him, because I grew up in this society, I was lucky to have a better education and stuff, but at the end, that's what I hope people will get in this film, that yeah, we can relate to him, and yeah, we want to go. And that's the song at the end of the film is, I think, at least for North Africa, we have a lot of art speaking about exile and this kind of feeling. We have even this word, khorba in Arabic, that you cannot really translate like in another language, which almost expresses state, which is this state that you were describing, which is you're not at home anymore. The purpose for me is being at home everywhere, making from that being at home everywhere.
Finding your place.
Somehow accepting that and making it a strength, you know? But it's not easy.
So home then is relationships. Home is community. Home is how you I guess you lived day to day.
Yeah.
Right? The cooking.
Yeah.
The walking to and from work.
Yeah.
Like just that simple, ordinary aspects, like that Sisyphean kind of way of living.
He's pushing his stone every day and again and again.
And isn't that the way most of us live? Right? On
totally. At the end of the day, that's totally the way we all live. I think it's just about satisfaction. Where do you find your satisfactions? The interesting part with my cousin is just like he wanted to. The only thing he knows is like I want to go back home because it's where I feel safe. That's
right.
Where my certainties are. My security is. But yeah, at the end of the day, I think it's more complicated, and he's experiencing that. And that's precisely what I found interesting because. We have a lot of representations of migration today. At least I can speak for Europe. You have two main representations. One is like these bastards are invading us and threatening our identity and all these things. And you have the other one, which is like these poor guys that we should help. My cousin never asked for any help. He just made it his way like a lot of people. And just like survival, like we would do the same, I think. I'm not even... sure I would be able to do what he did. So one of the thing at the beginning was like respect and admiration.
Sure.
And that's like in my previous movies, but I think you can find beauty in very simple people and in very simple stories. And you have often like a misrepresentations of that. We always represent them like as threats or people like abusing the system or I don't know what. I just want to show that there is beauty in these people and that we can relate to that and we can learn from that and trying to bring some balance
and meaning right and that whole again Sisyphus Camus that finding meaning in the meaninglessness right or at least the apparent the apparent meaning
life is absurd as we say Camus it's just like okay now my dream would be like if you see my films this one or the one before it's just like if you can just put yourself in his, what would I do at his place?
Right.
And I don't care if you do this way, this way, this way, and everyone will have his way. But to have like, to have the opportunity to take your hand and bring you into this world, if you give me 1 hour and 20 minutes of your time in your life to see that, I hope at least I'm succeeding in making you at least try to live a bit or feel a bit what it is.
Walk in somebody else's shoes.
Yeah. At least, like, yes, feel a bit.
Is that how you sold it to Fahed when you said, I'm going to turn on the camera now and we're going to record your story?
It was super...
Let me guess, it didn't include large sums of money.
No, so I helped him, of course, but that was not the point. It was more like a trust issue. We were very close. I consider him like a big brother. And it was more like, bro, you're just suffering, working so much. And for me... naively, because he doesn't really care. He is in another world than mine, but it was like, I want to put some light on you because I think you deserve to be seen by people and you have the right to be proud of what you achieved. And you have, and maybe that's my point of view, but I was like, I want to show you that, it's something admirable what you did.
The respect you wanted.
I wanted somehow to put some light on all the efforts he did. And
I can't imagine, Karim, I can't imagine going to Algeria
mm-hmm.
and starting over
mm-hmm.
the way that he did in England, in the UK.
Yeah.
I just, I mean, I guess we rise to the occasion, I suppose, when we're thrown into something. But the fear that would be behind that, the risks that you would have to take, the liabilities, all those things that come out, the loneliness, frankly, which comes out so clearly, by the way, the film, right? The last, and I haven't even said it, Karim, but congratulations on the film.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's a wonderful philosophical and political piece. It really is. But I love, I have to say this before I forget, the final shot of the film is just absolutely stunning.
Thank you very much.
And it's what I paid admission for, if you know what I mean.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. No, really, it's nice words.
So, yeah, so is that... yeah, the homelessness. Right. I was just talking about that fear that I would feel going into another culture and just starting over.
All over again. No, but you should imagine, I don't know, he just arrived in London like with a plastic bag. And
right.
That's
he slept
it.
On the streets until
he slept
could
in
afford.
Buses.
Yeah, buses.
Yeah, like, you know, in London, buses works 24/7. So you take the longest line.
Right.
To take like an hour and a half. And then you arrive at the terminus, you change bus and you sleep another hour and a half. That's how he began. No word of English. And slowly, slowly, he did it. It's like, I don't know, imagine you're just arrive in China, you don't know a word with just a plastic bag, and
that's
you just
right.
have to make it.
And that was several months, saved up a bit of money.
And then you begin to work in restaurants. Shitty job. You're abused by a lot of people.
What's the title of chapter one in the film, by the way?
Shit Life Syndrome.
There you go.
But I have to explain that, because I know a lot of people, they think it's just like me who said this expression. No, it's a lot of psychiatrists in Northern England. It comes from psychiatrists, this expression. And they just realized that a lot of people in Northern England, in this kind of prior big industrial cities which are falling down, are experiencing this syndrome, which is like depression, basically. Getting fat because you only have bad food. Getting drunk all the time and stuff. And
you're at risk.
They kind of created this concept, which is shit life syndrome, which is all these people like totally letting themselves go, and it's kind of a pathology. They begin to try to understand, and I totally found I thought it totally worked for Fahad. I think it's what he's living. He's very lonely. He has no opportunity to have, like, these cities. You have nothing. Everything's closed at 9.
There was a part in the film where I couldn't help but think about access, access, opportunity, infrastructure or lack thereof. Your international development background must have played a role as you were thinking about the film and the message and the editing. Having worked in the nonprofit sector for 5 years.
Yeah,
working with the UN and so on. Were some of those thoughts there as you pieced this story together, or did that just kind of come out as a result of your background?
I mean, during the writing process, I will read a lot about the context. I read a lot. I forgot the name of this leftist English journalist, but I forget, James Meek or someone like this. He pictured Grimsby, and I read about these places, Blackpool, Grimsby, all these former big ports, harbors that went down with Brexit and globalization. And so you see Ken Loach movies as well. Like, it's all, I'm not from England. I don't really know England, and I just spent some time there. And for me, it was something. I didn't plan to do it, but when you spend time, you cannot miss it. I mean, and you have somehow to tackle it your way, not being pretentious, pretending that you know. And
right,
I had to stay humble. Like, I'm not from here. I cannot like pretend to speak for people. But it was just what I felt.
Right.
With these people I spent time with, and I felt it's a very hard life, and people are. After you break just the first glass, very nice and very... I had great times with all these guys.
So at one point, I think it was Izan again who said that to Fahad, you're in a hurry, Fahad, as if you're sitting on fire. Is that something that's something that he suffers from, or do you think that's kind of a problem for the human race?
It's a problem for the human race in general. I think what moves me with my cousin is that he's really working hard to make everything right, and he just wants a family and children, and the only model he always had was this kind of arranged marriage in Algeria, and he's at the point, I think, in life where everyone can relate to, which is like our dreams or our on the paper dreams and reality of life. And sometimes you have to make choices, and it's hard. And I don't know what to add. Just I think he has such a social pressure. He wants to show in Algeria so bad that he was successful, that he's at a point where he's ready to make a lot, at least more for people than for himself. And I think during this film we are with him, like him understanding that, but at the same time being loyal to some things. And this is the tension I think he's going through.
You know, Kareem, one of the things for me is as I get older, my kids teach me, my wife Elizabeth teaches me, my friends and some of the work I do. It's about being present, right? It's about feeling at home in the situation that I'm in, being present, very Buddhist principle, hopefully a very human principle, really. And actually, right now, hanging out with you, intentionally focusing on this interview, not worrying about the traffic that I'm going to hit later when I get on the road tonight. Does that make sense? Because that, for me, is what this film is about. It's about here, and it's about there, and we should really be spending our time here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, in the moment. It's here and now, and you don't know. You will die tomorrow. You don't know. So, yeah, that's, I think, live now, and I think you're totally right. I have nothing to add at the end. That's what I hope my cousin will be able to do in his near future. Like, I wish him to be happy, and I think, yeah.
Has he seen the film?
Not yet. He was supposed to come here. We had visa issues. I really wanted to see it with him in a movie theater, like on a
television screen.
On a television screen or on a laptop. So I can't wait, but it should be very, very soon, maybe in Algeria or in the UK. So.
And you're hoping for a bit of a festival tour with the film, are you?
So, of course, it's not me who decides, but the important thing, we're going to screen the film in Algeria like end of next month, which will be good because all the other aunts and family will be able to see it. And
so
it will
good.
Be an emotional moment for us. And then we'll see if the audience like it or not. It's always the same, you know, with the premiere, you never know how it will work. It's hard for me because I have really few step backs. You never have a lot of step backs when it's your film, but when it's your family, it's even harder, like, to sometimes...
Oh, with your family, it's very difficult, right? Because you're just Kareem, you're not a filmmaker, right?
So when you shoot, but even when you see it after, you're just like, it will be very strange tomorrow for me, like, to see all my family in a movie theater in Canada, like, so far away with all these people, like, who paid for coming to see them. So it's emotional and kind of scary as well.
Well, I wish you well with it, and thank you so much for your time today. I what I love about your film is and I hope that you don't take this the wrong way, there's a simplicity to it that's beautiful and extraordinary.
It really is.
It's minimalist in its approach, and yet layered and nuanced and so many implications. It's the kind of film that international development students could be writing essays about one day, I think.
Thank you so much. Yeah. It's a huge compliment, and always a pleasure to speak with you. Really.
Enjoy your time at the festival. We've been talking with Kareem Sayed about his new film, My English Cousin. Thanks for your time today, Kareem.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.